I just discovered when I came up here that some of my PowerPoint got all messed up, so I don't exactly know what we're going to see here. But this is actually part two of the Ark. I realized this last week that really this is a three-part message, and I asked if I could do all three. And so this week and next week, we're going to walk through what I feel like God spoke to me about, what touched my heart in this experience. Looks like we're just having trouble at every sort of front, which is okay, I guess. Does that mean somewhere there's something spiritual in here? Yeah, that's good, right there. Okay. All right. Let me shut a few things down here. That might help. That's my notes. Okay. All righty. So, if you guys remember last week, I talked about the ark, showed a bunch of pictures of the ark, had a couple points I made. One of the points is about this picture. Who can remember what I said about this picture? For me, what was the point of this picture?
It has everything in it.
Yeah. Every single thing that you were created to be fulfilled by is in that picture. Anybody remember any other thoughts? Yeah, and something about, I don't know, seeing the visual of the real, you know, life-size ark or something, God just really spoke to me deeply about his heart. And a lot of it happened just as I was thinking through this picture and thinking of myself in that picture. And for me, what I caught here and what God spoke into me in that scenario was that this is God's heart. This is what he wants. This is what he wishes he could do for me. This is what he wishes he could do for you. This is the measure of his heart toward us. And as I thought about this, and of course I drew out a little bit how, you know, so God designed your heart. God made your heart to be fulfilled through certain things outside of yourself. That's what it means to be human. And so God made your heart to be fulfilled by certain things. And then he made a world that would just totally, completely fulfill all of that. And that was his plan for us. And as I looked at this picture, even this week, I realized, well, you know, there's pieces I still didn't see in it. Because I said, you know, this is probably maybe even day seven, and so God's left, and he's left them there, and this is their first day on their own, and here they are just looking at this amazing world. And I realized, well, that's probably not true at all. God's standing right behind them. God is right there with them. I mean, just like all you dads, you know, you try to think of something really, really, really cool to buy your kids at Christmas. And do you want to watch them open it or what? You want to see them try to put that electric train together or whatever it is. And you get so much joy out of watching just the delight that rolls into their life. And of course, God created the world and all these things and our own heart so that he would be an essential part of the whole thing. All of it flows through walking with our Father in this world that he made for us. That is what was intended to be. And so I just really realized that I saw God's heart, and somehow that really touched me. Like, God, that's what you want. You're not small. You're not cheap. God didn't go to Kmart and roll out and buy us some little present. He gave us a universe. And he made us to love it, and then he gave it to us. And for me, as that settles more and more in my heart, that that's actually the history of the world. That's actually true. That's actually God. That becomes very, very powerful to me because it lets me know that, wow, God, you just really, really, really want to bless me. And that's actually true. Now, something happened. And I want to give you a little analogy here. So we have watched lots of pictures of people whose lives have been messed up by hurricanes. Something happened in the creation. And there was an incredible, profound, drastic change. And if you were to imagine if that was one of your houses and you were having your life that you thought you were supposed to have and you had your world and you had your job and you had what was going to happen the next day and all of a sudden some horrible, horrific disaster comes in and totally, completely rearranges everything and all that you knew and all that you thought you were supposed to have is now gone and your home is lost. And everybody around you has completely different lives also. It's been radically changed for everybody. And most people are just wandering around. They're just trying to find a place to put life together, to figure out what in the world is happening. Where do I find what's supposed to go on for me next? And a lot of these people found themselves living in an utterly, completely different world than where they were the week before. And what I would like to call your heart and mind into is just like the picture of Adam and Eve standing in front of the river was our picture from last week. This is the picture you live in today. This is where you live today. And as I think of those people, I think about what was rolling through their mind. And how there were things that were so important to them and things that they really wanted. And they had their garden and they're never going to see their garden again. And they had their nice little, you know, coffee maker in their kitchen on their counter and it's gone. And they'll never be back there again. And their house isn't even there. And maybe they were just about to take a vacation and now that vacation will never happen. And I just imagine, you know, I can imagine the most common phrase, at least said by adults to children. And it's a phrase, I know, honey, I know. But it's gone. It's gone. And if you can imagine what you would wrestle with if you found yourself there, and you would be faced with profound decisions and choices. You would be incredibly frustrated that everything you thought you should have, you no longer have, and it's just gone. And you would be so tempted to try to somehow mold this place into something like what you sensed was yours. And you'd be so tempted to just crab at the guy next to you because he keeps shoving his stuff over on your side of your little square. Or wishing that the guy next to you was nicer and that he would just go away. Or somehow trying to get some one more blanket or whatever, and your life could get all caught up in, well, then I just want to try to make life here. Or there could be a change, and you could go, life is now different. Life is now somewhere else. And I would like us just to pause for a moment and look a little bit at what happened in the fall. Anybody remember what God said to Adam would happen if he ate the fruit? What did God say would happen to Adam? He would surely die. And when was he going to die? On the day he ate it, he would surely die. How many of you guys believe that Adam died the day he ate the fruit? Yeah. Wow. So we know he lived over 900 years physically after that. But God was not exaggerating, and God was not missing something. When God speaks to him and to us and says, Adam, you will die, what happened on that day was that alienation came between God and man, and God's spirit no longer could have fellowship. Imagine this being made in God's image. This is a son of God. It tells us in Luke that Adam was the son of God, created to have all of his experience flow through walking with God in this creation and being with him. And all of a sudden, he's utterly, completely cut off. And there is no connection at any kind of experiential, relational, personal way with this God. And he is utterly alone in a creation that is cut off from God, and that is cut off. And the creation is not only cut off from God, the creation is now alienated from him. And it's not going to cooperate, and the animals are not going to be nice, and there's going to be thorns, and there's going to be thistles. And it's all lost, and he's utterly isolated and alone. And the only place he can try to find meaning now is somehow in the creation, because he is cut off from knowing God. He's dead. And every single person since that day has been born dead. No connection with the Spirit of God. No sense of a connection with that which is greater than themselves for which they were made. And they are stuck trying to find something in the creation that will give them an identity, that will give them meaning. Something that they can find a label themselves with that will somehow define themselves, because they're dead. And that's the world we live in. And that's the world you live in. And apart from God, that's all there is from you. Something that will never, ever, ever, ever let you experience what that picture was meant to be again. And so we have a really broken world, and we have a life that is not at all what we were meant to live in. Your heart was made to live in that other picture. Your heart cries out for all that was going to be there, but now is not. And your heart lives without much of it. And in those yearnings and those longings and those desires in our heart, we then face a profound choice. We can still try to shove this life into some sort of shape in which it will meet those needs and those desires, or we can listen to the voice of God and we can let him go. Where I want to go next week is I want to talk about the life God wants to give us, where we find life in this creation, how we experience joy now. But there is a step that we have to look at before we get there. And that is the subject of what are the things that we can grab hold of and we say in our hearts, I will not let it go. I will not agree that I can find life apart from this. I want this. I feel like I need this, and I cannot let it go. And the thing I want to address here in just a little brief picture set is the idea of idols in our life. You see, this change, this fall, this living in this temporary mess creates lots and lots of challenges. But one of the things that can really derail us is when our heart does make those decisions that I can't go on and believe in a good life without this, whatever it might be. And if we want to know the God, life God wants us to give us, we have got to look squarely into the face of, are we hanging on to things that God says, you may not ever get that. I cannot promise that to you. And some of those things are really good things. You may have some experience where you just want justice in some incredible injustice that you've received in your life. And that is a really, really good thing. But you might not get it in this life. There may be things in a relationship, just having a relationship or having a relationship change, and there's something deep in your heart that says, this has just got to happen. I cannot find life unless this happens. And when your heart wells up and says that and says, I cannot move forward, everything has to shut down. I have to have this. The truth is, you may or you may not ever get that. Maybe you're sick and tired of financial stress and it's just reached a point where you're just done. But there's something in your heart that your heart has grabbed hold of and said, unless I can get this, I don't know how I can go on. I don't know how I can go forward. And when there's something in your heart that says that, you will not take from God the life he wants to give you. And the purposes of God will be short-circuited in your life, and the purposes of the evil one will be fulfilled. You know, when all those things that are so attractive to us, that can just reach up with such incredible power and speak so strongly, this is life, this is life. You know, there's a lot of forces working to make those really loud. Your flesh is working to make them really loud. The world is working hard to make them really loud. And the devil is working overtime to make them really loud. Because all of them will keep you from hearing God. And so, as I look toward what I feel like God is calling my own life into that I want to talk about next week, I was just really struck by how deceptively my heart can be caught and all of us can be caught by something. And if I were to ask you, is there something that would fit that definition in your life? Is there something with power that can just bring your life to a screeching halt? Because there's moments, not always, but there's moments where you go, I just have to have this. Maybe in moments of loneliness. Maybe in moments of conflict. Maybe in moments of failure. And Jesus' desire is to bring you to the faith that he is life and not that thing. You know, he said some wild things, and I think it's this picture that lets us interpret them. Whoever loves his life loses it, and whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. And what's Jesus saying here? He's saying, hey, if you love your life, if you keep trying to find life with your cot and your little thing and in this world you were never meant to be fulfilled by, you were never meant to be fulfilled here. And if you say, no, I will be fulfilled here, those longings will be met here, Jesus says, you'll lose your life because it is not there. But if you hate your life in this world, if you go, I'm not going to find my life here. I'm not even try to find my life here. This is not going to be my place. I'm going to enjoy what I enjoy. If I got a good cot, that's great. I'm happy. If I'm around when they hand out the candy bars, I'll take one. But this is not my life. This is not my life. And don't let anybody try to put that label on me. I'm wanting way more than what's in here. My life is somewhere else. I hate the thought that this is the fullness of my life. It is not. I'm getting the picture. And I'm getting the whole picture. And I want it all. And that's where my hope is. Luke, for whoever would save his life will lose it. Whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. In that idol, do you believe Jesus? If you lose it, if you lose it, if you lose it, could he give you a life? Could he? Could he give you a life? Is he big enough? Is he strong enough? Is he powerful enough? Is he good enough? And that's where I go back to picture one. That's his heart. I take that heart and I go, okay. Then I'll let it go. Then I'll let it go. God, lead me to the next picture. Lead me to the picture to come. I let go. I will not look for my life here. I will not. You can do better. You can do better. You can do better. That's my hope. Not this, that. He said to us all, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. And every day, what's your deal? Can you let it go? I really like what Paul said because I think he was wrestling with this struggle. He says, that's why I'm suffering as I am. Yet I'm not ashamed because I know who I have believed. And I'm convinced he's able to guard what I have entrusted to him for that day. But Lord, I really want this. I want justice. I want what's right. I want this relational fulfillment. I want, God, I need this. And Paul says, you know what? I really need that. I really need that. And God, it's not coming to me where I'm at right now. And I'm going to take it and I'm going to entrust it to you. Lord, you know I need this. You know I need this. You know I need this. And I'm giving it to you. And you will be faithful. You will not let me down. I will have the fullness of whatever that created desire is in you. And I entrust it to you for that day. And so what we need to do is we need to repent, because that's how Jesus blesses us. When they heard this, they said, praise God, saying, so then God has granted even the Gentiles repentance unto life. It's a granting. God gives it to us. And so I just wanted to walk through some practical things here that have been helpful for me. Questions to ask ourselves. Is there a place in your life where you're demanding that the creation meet your needs? I want this here. I want this. I want this. I need this. Your heart just tells you that you have to have that. Are you holding something against someone? Is there just a resentment there? Is there a withholding of love until something comes back to you? Are you saying, I want life from you in this way, and I will not walk with you or God until I get it? What are you needing from someone? Wow, can our needs well up with incredible power and just scream, and we know they have to be true because they're so loud? What's causing you to bargain with God? Well, God, if you'll do this, God, if you'll do this, if you'll do this. And what you're telling God is you're telling God, God, life is over here. You give me this, you give me life, and I'll do whatever you want. And God says, my heart has already promised to give you life. And as we let him go, and here's what I'd like to just encourage all of us to think through. Whenever God just lays things like this on your heart, will you trust that God loves you and wants to richly bless your life? Will you trust this? You go, no, I believe God loves me. No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking you to trust it. Because when you have an idol, you go, oh, no, I don't want God to love me. I want this. I don't want God to love me. I want this. I don't want to let God's love in because then it's like I have to be satisfied with that. I don't want to be satisfied with that. I want this. Will you trust that God loves you? Will you trust that? God, you love me. God, you love me. And you want to richly bless my life. You want to give me the picture. God, I trust that. I trust that. Will you confess to God the place that idol has in your life? You know, if there's something that wells up in you and you know, I just wrestle with this all the time. This is so hard. This is so huge. This is a huge thing in my heart. This is big. Have you ever confessed that to God? Have you ever sat down and gone, God, this is an idol in my life. Lord, this is huge. I'm overwhelmed by the power of my desire for this. I know this is wrong. And I remember in my own life a point of just coming to a total brokenness where I just went, God, I will never, ever be different. Because I love this more than I love you. And that point of total honesty with myself and with God was such a deep, powerful moment for me of seeing my own depravity and brokenness that in that very place, God brought a power that changed my life. Have you ever confessed it to God? Well, you know it's not right, but have you spoken it? Have you sat on your couch, put your head down, and pray to God and say, God, please help me. This is an idol in my life. Lord, I love this so much. Help me let go. Will you entrust that object of your affection to God, believing that he's able to guard it until the day you see him? Do you believe the first picture? Don't you know he wants to give it to you? Don't you know he wants to bless you with it? Don't you know whatever it is, the fullness of that, he wants to, he's just a dad. He just wants to go, now you're going to get it. Oh, boy. And you gave it to me, and you entrusted me with it. And I am telling you what, I'm going to give it back to you in such a big way, it's going to blow your mind. Because I want you to have it. You just cannot find it in that broken, temporary place. And will you rest in God's promise that the one who trusts in him will never be disappointed, and thank him for the life you'll have together with him? So there's four things there. Trust, confess, entrust, and rest. Trust, enter into that dependence of with God. Confess where your heart's at. Entrust that object of your affection to God. and then rest that he will take care of it. The one who trusts in him will not be disappointed. This is a verse that's always meant a lot to me. This is what the sovereign Lord, the Holy One of Israel, says, the God who can do everything, in repentance and rest is your salvation, in quietness and trust is your strength. Jesus himself came to this mess. Whoever serves me must follow me. Where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. And you know, as you look through the Gospels, it's interesting how often Jesus indicates he wanted something, but he didn't get it. Jesus had a lot of broken dreams. I can imagine he just so much wanted people to follow him, to believe him, to track with him. He came as the Messiah. He's doing all these miracles. There's been 1,000 years of preparation. It's like, this is it. And they won't, and they won't, and they won't, and they won't. And it must have just crushed his heart. His own disciples couldn't even stay awake and pray with him. And it must have crushed his heart. But he came to this world knowing that he would not live out his dreams. And he said this, whoever serves me must follow me. And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Your heart was made for this picture. That's really true. But Jesus chose to come and live here. Will you let go of the picture and find life with him in this until he makes the picture new again? Don't hang on to that which is not food. Don't hang on to that which is not life. And there's a lot of hard things in life, and they're not all idols. There's lots of hard things. There's lots of challenges. There's lots of stress, and they're not all idols. But there are those things that well up in our heart, and something inside us tells us this is life itself. This is life itself. And in those things, we must bring them to God, or they will keep us from God. I have no idea where we're at in this world. If Jesus could somehow make all the idols in this room appear, if all of a sudden, everywhere there was an idol, we found this little gold thing sitting on our lap, boop, there might be a lot of little gold things sitting on our lap here. And you know what? All those things are stealing from you the greatest joy you'll ever experience this side of heaven. Because Jesus said, I want to walk with you. I want to go do amazing stuff with you. Yeah, we aren't going to get the dinosaurs, but we are going to do really cool things together as you and I walk together in this life until you see me face to face. And there'll be hardship and there'll be difficulty, but you get those anyway. Nobody escapes that. But you will have fellowship with me, and you'll see me do amazing things through your life. But you got to get rid of the idols, because they'll keep you from experiencing joy in my presence. Now, I just want you to pause here for a second. And I want you to just, I want you to bow your heads. And then I want you to whisper your deepest idol to the person next to you. No, I don't want you to do that. But I just want you to ask yourself, Lord, is there something where I need to trust? Can we say those words? Let's say those words. Trust, confess, and trust, and rest. Trust, confess, and trust, rest. Is there something, and you know what? You may only be able to get to as far as point two where you confess, God, I can't give it up. I can't. I try. I can't. But I can confess it. I can be honest. That we can always do. We can always be honest. Lord, I can be honest with you. That I can be. I can't get any farther, Lord. You're going to have to do that, I guess. But I can be honest about where I'm at right now. And I just want you to, before the Lord, go, God, is there something I need to sit with you and walk through those four things as far as I can get? Is there something he brings to mind? He goes, yeah, you know what? Can we talk about this? Can we talk about this? You never want to talk about this. Can we talk about this? And please don't get discouraged if you've wrestled with things for a long time. I really believe all you're responsible to do is get to step two. You need to trust and make sure you're doing that. You're not pushing God away. You truly are trusting that he loves you, that he's got good for you. And you can look him in the face and go, I believe it, God, and then confess. And then maybe God will grant you repentance and you can end trust. You can give it to God. And then you can rest in his promise where he says to you, you know what? You will not be disappointed you did that. I promise you, you will not be disappointed you did that. God stakes all of his glory on the fact that he will do a better job with our lives than we will. And when we can come to that point, the devil can't trip us up when we start to run after our Savior. Have you listened to the Lord? Has he brought up anything? And I'm not thinking there may be something there, there may not. But if there is, you know. Because it's so deep and it's so big. Trust. Confess. And trust. Rest. And then it's going to be follow. 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 In Jesus' name, amen.